Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner. So joining me today is Dr. Logan Lightfoot, as he usually does. And then I'm also joined by my doppelganger in name only.
And that's Jeremy Ingraham.
All right. Well, Jeremy, go ahead and tell us what you do for the school district and tell us why you're here today.
Okay. Again, my name is Jeremy Ingraham. I'm the director at Northwest Technical School. And at the technical school, I'm just going to go over today a little bit about kind of the school itself, and then we're going to focus on the building trades program. And so some people don't know that Northwest Technical School, partners, obviously we're with the Maryville School District, but we work with a consortium of schools. And so there's 12 other schools other than Maryville that come into Northwest Technical School, representing five counties in Northwest Missouri. At the technical school, something that some people don't know is we also have really two school days. We have an AM and a PM day where those schools come in to break the number of kids up and to be able to be in those programs. If you're in the building trades program, for example, we have a program that goes from 8:05 in the morning till 10:45, and then we start up again in the afternoon, 12:05, and go until 2:45. Another unique thing about the school, we also have just Maryville-only students in our ag, facts, and our business program. So at a traditional comprehensive high school, those would be in the high school, but they're located in the tech school. Within a Northwest Technical School, the building trades program, we've been able to partner with quite a few different entities over the years. And so one of the cool things sitting here with you here at Northwest, we were able to partner with the R.T. Wright Farm and the ag program. Rod Barr had approached me several years back, and we were able to make that happen, working with Dr. Jasinski. And so that was really cool. We were able to build that house in conjunction with them. And so that was a cool partnership. Before that, we've worked with the city of Maryville, and we built the cabins. So if you've ever stayed out at Mazingo, we've built, I think, three of the cabins that are out there we've built over the years. And so that partnership with the city's been great. One of the things that the city did was when we did that, they then found us lots that had been, over the years, torn down, and they weren't getting tax money off of those. So then those were granted to the tech school, the district, and then we were able to build on those. And then, of course, obviously that benefits the city in tax dollars and then gives us an opportunity also for a build. We were working with Habitat for Humanity now. We were able to make that happen 2 years ago, partner with them. And so we built 2 years ago for Habitat, and that went very well. This past year, we built a house that wasn't finished in the spring, so we're just finishing it now. And that was just, we thought we were looking way out ahead at, like every builder does, and I think every industry, looking ahead because we know that just the state of the economy and the world trying to get all the needed, whether it's parts at a manufacturing facility or if it's wood, and when it comes to building a house, everything was hard to get. And so that didn't end the way we wanted it to. We just couldn't get it finished in the time with the students leaving, but we're finished now. And so that's a great thing. And so we're getting ready to sell that house, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we're going to build a Habitat house this year. So we started on that. We're excited about that. We're partnering with them again. And so building that house on North Saunders Street, and Habitat has a family picked for that house. So that's an exciting thing for Habitat and the community. With the house that we are building, or we just built this past year, just a little bit for the community to know if anybody's interested, that house will be selling the way that we do that on the 15th of November. You have to have a bid into the school district. And so you can, that bid could come in today or it could come in by 6 o'clock that night on the 15th. And then that night we actually do a process where we open those bids up. You put the minimum bid in and you get an opportunity to raise that bid. If there's five people sitting there, essentially it's an auction. And then we will award that and say, okay, this is the winning bid that night. However, the next night is our school board meeting on the 16th. And the school board will then approve that winning bid. And then a 5% down is required at that time for that. So we're excited to get that house sold and get a family in that. It's a solid house. And it was donated the lot. Bill Engel, who's a longtime home builder here in town, he donated that lot. So I want to make sure and give a shout out to Bill. That was very nice of him to do that. And so, and with that being said, our goal within the building trades program is not to go out and make money. It's to have a, you know, that's their classroom. That's those students' classroom. That's where they get the hands-on learning, that project-based learning within current tech education that's needed. And so whether we're working, you know, with the city on a build, Habitat, obviously we're not making money at those things, which is really great because then I don't have to worry about the real estate process and neither does Dr. Lightfoot. However, when we have to do that, what we do is we want to cover our costs, obviously. Another unique thing is when you think about building trades programs, maybe versus like my ag program, you have business partners that you work with within the community. And so one of the things that I've found over the past 10 years is, you know, when you are having to sell a house because you've had something donated, or even if it's the city that's given us a lot, when we sell that, sometimes, you know, if you think about we've got students out there building that. And so we have inherent costs through having to pay prevailing wage and get certified contractors because our students are not certified electricians, neither is our teacher. Or plumbers. You have a certified plumber, certified HVAC, which is required by the city of Maryville, as most all cities would have. But we work with Jim Wiederholt, within the city. And so Jay Drake, our building trades teacher, works with him on the structure. So our students obviously build the entire structure, and then they get that they get to work with the contractors in learning, whether it's pulling the wire, running the plumbing, and that type of stuff. But back to the money on that, we don't try to make money. However, we don't like to sell that way below cost. And so we try to look at comps in the area and we try to work with and the homeowners in the area. They don't want to see the numbers be real low on a sale. So I've had that question and ask, you know, do you try to make money or do you just try to break even? So, you know, we try to make a little bit on it to cover our costs, obviously, or we've never had to do that since I've here. But if you were to have to sell the house maybe at a loss, which you'd never want to do, but you try to cover your costs and maybe make a little bit on that. And you've got obviously tools and some things that you need to upgrade each year. So, but it's an exciting program. I mentioned Jay Drake. Jay does a great job. If you think about and understand what he's doing, he's taking young men and women and trying to teach them an adult skill and profession. And on top of that, we build a house within a 9-month period. And we do that in about 3 hours per day. And then you sit there and you go, well, these students aren't even always here 5 days a week. We've got schools that only go 4 days a week. We've got homecomings and we've got exciting things that happen back at their home schools. And so we have that AMP program. So the kids go out. Sometimes, you know, a bus doesn't get there till 8:15, 8:20. We finally get the kids loaded out to the building site. Let's say we get going by 8:30. We then have to get those kids back to the school because a lot of their buses are heading back to their schools. You know, we're talking Rockport, Missouri, you know, Worth County. So that's quite a drive. And those students have to be leaving by, say, 10:25. So then Jay's back at the school. We start back up at 12:05 and you have that same scenario. And so when you think about that, we're not even at a consistent, you're not staying on that build site. So to see what they're able to do in the amount of time, and I don't have that, but we've added that up on how many hours the students are actually out on site and they build an entire house and finish it. It's quite remarkable. So a big shout out to Jay and what he does with those students in that really short amount of time that they get there. We do, within that program, people sometimes wonder, what do those kids get out of that, or how does that finish? So for anybody that's listening to this, it has like a high school student or has had, you know, we end with EOCs. If you're taking an English class, you have an end of, it's the end of the, you know, your semester test. And so the EOC that we do is called an IRC. It's an industry recognized credential within that program. And so the curriculum within building trades, you have to have approved curriculum through the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. And within that is the career and tech ed division. And so we have to have that. One of the there's only a couple. We go with the KC Builders Union. And so through that, we have to test at the end of the year. And it's called KC Builders Union Missouri Connections curriculum. And so we do that. Our students have been very successful at earning that credential. You know, in Northwest Missouri, we've got a lot of students that are placed, not always just with a builder. It might be the transferable skills is what I call it, that all of our programs have, meaning they might come out of whether it's auto tech or collision repair, welding and fabrication, or building trades, but they understand tools. They understand if somebody's saying, hey, get me a 3/16 extension for that, you know, socket, they know what that means. And so that's important. And through that, you know, the testing happens and students are placed. But another thing that I would mention about going through the program and what they learn, you know, they get to work with plumbers, electricians, HVAC people, you know, your heating and cooling, concrete, sometimes it's even block, you know, whether it's brick builds, you know, a fascia, something like that. So it's really neat for those students to be able to do that. We have students that go into landscape and design because of doing a house. And, you know, you think about that, and they're placed at a lot of different places. We have students that we built, actually, when I say partnerships, we partnered with our own Maryville School District and built a new central office a few years ago. And the actual concrete block fascia, if you will, that goes about 4 foot, we had a contractor come in and do that. We had several students through that. They now work in the Kansas City area doing that. They were just, it was something they really liked doing. We've got students that are just doing roofing. And then we got students that are working maintenance at places because of the skills they were learned just in building trades. So just want to give a shout out to the students that are in there. And of course, Jay, last year, something that all of my programs are involved in is something called Skills USA. So within current tech ed, it's their way of showing off and showcasing their talents. And so we were you know, fortunate enough to have a student last year named Will Cordell, and he was from the West Nottoway School District. He was able to make it all the way to nationals. And so you go through a district contest, and just like in basketball, and students compete with showing their skills, and Will won districts, made it to state. He then won the state competition, so he was the number one carpentry building trade student in the state of Missouri, and then he was able to make it to Atlanta, Georgia, to national. So you have 50 students represented within the building trades, and Will ended up getting second. And so and if Will was sitting here with me, he would tell you this. Will was one, he's already got his own business. He had his own business even in high school going, super young man. And but Will wasn't the guy that was real big on taking, like, just sitting down doing a test. So you have to test about skills and kind of the knowledge. And he didn't put a lot of time into that. And so if he would have probably put a little bit more in there, he would have won nationals. But he was building and doing other stuff, and he just kind of laughed about it. But we really had a kid that would have probably been a national champion. But even getting second is quite an honor for Will. And so it makes us look good, but it was really that student that put the time and the effort, along with Mr. Drake working with him. So I just wanted to mention that. That was a really cool thing that happened last year.
So how many students overall are usually in this program every year?
We've got on average around 15 in the morning and 15 in the afternoon. There are times when we've got 21 in the morning and you've got 8. You know, sometimes, but you're looking at about 30 students a year.
And what's the age range on them?
Well, that's a great question. Those are going to be juniors and seniors. Okay. So obviously you could have some 16-year-olds in there, up to 18-year-olds. Another thing that we do at the tech school, we do allow adults into the program. Most of the time the adults that we have are a student that maybe just came their senior year and they want to get that two-year certificate. So they come back, you know, they're just out of high school. So they're, you know, they are an adult, but they come back. And so they're still a young person, but young adult. We do have sometimes people out of the military will come out and, you know, they're looking for a skill or a trade to learn. And then sometimes just somebody looking to do a different profession. So we do have adults in the programs. Usually on average, we have somewhere between 5 and 10 that come to the tech school that are adults. So, but great question.
And so how do these relationships kind of build over the years? Do they come to you and say, hey, we need help with this project. Mm-hmm. Would you like to help?
Yeah, really, that's what it is. And that's a great question. Something I'd like to mention is, you know, at the tech school, it's one of those things where I never reach out and say, hey, why don't you come in and speak to our students about your business? Because if I do that, I'm going to leave somebody out, you know, and I never want to do that. We've got great partnerships and, you know, hate to even mention any of them because then I'm going to leave all the others out. But, you know, you think about some of the bigger manufacturers in town, we partner with them on a lot of different things. And so they'll come in and talk to us. But when you, and that's for all of our students, because again, those transferable skills that you learn with the hands-on learning and so many of the different programs can transfer to a lot of different businesses. It doesn't just have to be like, for instance, building trades, what we're talking about. You don't have to go be a home builder. You have a lot of skills. But when people reach out, we encourage them to, one, come in and talk about their business with our students. But then two, yeah, we try to make that happen. Years ago, we've partnered with the city on building arbors for some of the parks. We've built shelter houses within the, and that's all of our programs together doing that a lot of times. We had a really cool project. It's probably been 5 or 6 years ago. It was an unfortunate situation, but we were asked by actually a fellow school district and some people, a principal in the Northland had been paralyzed, enjoyed hunting, and we were able to build an actual hunting blind that was wheelchair accessible. Oh, where wow. An entire wall came down and that wall hinged. And then that was the actual wheelchair ramp, the wall. And then when that person was back in, they could lift that wall up. And so we try to do things as we can. You know, there are times that when you're building a house, that there's some downtime, and we try to be able to jump in there and do that. You know, and obviously we're focused on building trades, but within many of our programs, we do things like that. And we don't probably toot our horn enough. Because we don't like to, but we should probably just to get it out there and let the public know. But, you know, we've partnered anything from wheelchair ramps and, you know, in our metals and fabrication, welding fabrication, we have built handrails, whether that's be for the city, whether that's for an individual. Last year, the senior center, they needed a bunch of, it was restroom stalls that needed to be repainted and some welding done. So our collision repair did that. And then also welding and fab did some work on it. And so we enjoy, it's neat seeing those kids when they know they're helping somebody. You know, a lot of times it's, these are high school kids. And I always say we're teaching young adults, you know, but they're still kids. And so, but a lot of times when you get those kids and you say, hey, this is what we're doing this for this. It's going to make a difference in these people's lives. You can see those kids change a lot of times and they're focused. Not that they're not focused normally, but they'll get really focused on a project like that. So yeah, I'm glad you asked that question.
Now, are the students behind the schematics? And I asked that because I had never, or at least I've never seen a kind of hunting nest that is wheelchair accessible.
So on that, it's that's a great question again. That was something we had to come up with. Yes, we had to, because there was nothing that we had seen. Well, how do we do this? And so, and I'll tell you, I'll just use the guy's name. It was Phil Schreck. It's a local real estate and involved in several things. Phil came to us and said, hey, this guy's principal at this school district. They've reached out to me. Could you guys call them? So we called, of course, school district, talked to them a little bit, like what's his needs, where's he at? And so anyway, yeah, through that we sat down and we talked about what kind of wheelchair he was going to have, how this would happen, how this could work. And you get people that are builders and true tradesmen, they can figure stuff out pretty quick. And so it was neat to see them come up with how they're going to do that, make that whole wall hinge and come down. And they had, you know, they had springs on the side. So you think about a whole wall, that's pretty heavy, but it was kind of a weight assisted deal. And so, yeah, it was a wonderful partnership. There's a lot of them that we've done are. So
would you say the past couple of years have maybe been the most difficult in terms of from the pandemic to supply chain issues and now inflation?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And what kind of challenges did those create?
Well, I think just you go back to like the pandemic and the shutdown. I guess when we shut down in 19, I want you to picture this, like within our current tech ed programs, we pride ourselves. I pride our school, the Maryville School District, and all of our sending schools because we do real world work. And these aren't simulations. We're not doing a welding simulator. Those students are actually learning that. There's inherent risks on that. There have been minor injuries over the years. It's all stuff that, you know, was the PPE was there. We were doing the right things, but there's going to be things that happen, unfortunately. But our school districts, all 12 of them, and then the 13th Maryville, have always been very, very supportive to not run away from that. And so my point is when we shut down in 19, we had a bunch of cars in our auto tech that we're working on, right? And all of a sudden, you couldn't be at the school. Nobody could be there. And all of a sudden, people that thought, hey, I know you're not an auto tech shop, but I didn't think my car might be stuck there for 6 months. You know, we didn't know. And so we were able to go in, and actually many of the teachers came in and we rallied, if you were, to get these vehicles together and get them out, because we didn't know if we'd be back to school in the fall of 20. Luckily we were, but that was the first challenge, is getting things that you normally think you're going to have done completed. And so we were able to get those things in the fall of 20. We came back. Then the challenges are, and I'll just say it, is, you know, you're supposed to be masking up and do a lot of these things, but then you're doing current tech ed and trying to wear a welding helmet with a mask underneath it. There's just a lot of things that didn't, it was hard. It was hard to try to meet those challenges and a lot of those different ways of looking at it. And nobody's knew, you know, what was right and wrong. We thought a lot of times it was surface contact versus whether it's airborne. So just all that stuff, building a house and challenges. Anytime you're a leader and you're supervising adults, kids, and then you've got, it's a very public thing. We got questions as to why a kid wasn't wearing a mask outside, putting up plywood on the outside of a house. I mean, those are challenges. When you ask challenges, those are challenges because, you know, those people have, I think it was a real concern. They're not trying to create a problem, but those are things that you have to overcome. So we were luckily able to overcome that and get through that. The supply chain thing, moving on to that, we ordered trusses, for example, 6 months in advance of what we normally did, and they were still late to come last fall. And so that was one of the reasons that the house ended up just being finished up this fall. And so, yeah, those have all been challenges, you know, but what's really cool is just our school board, our public, you know, our patrons, the students, parents, just supportive. You're always going to have somebody that tries to find the negative in the great things that we do for kids. We're always creating great opportunities in the Maryville School District throughout all of our programs and at the tech school. And, you know, I always say that, I mean, I get that people are going to want to question and ask this question, but sometimes it's, you know, we can all find those something negative about it, but we are the reason we do it is for the betterment of students and for their opportunities to learn. And so, you know, yes, there's been challenges. It's been tough. A lot of the different changes and the things we've had to do, but overall I see a light, I think, at the end of the tunnel. I think we're kind of there. We're moving out of all that right now. And so, it's an exciting time, to be the director at the tech school and to be working with all my great teachers and the students that we have.
Do you have an idea of what the next project will be?
Yeah. So this year I'd mentioned the Habitat for Humanity House that we're working on. We've got another lot that looks like it's going to be donated to us. So that's not official yet, but we're working on that. I have been in some talks with Greg McDaniel, so is Dr. Lightfoot. There's some things we're looking at doing, partnering with the city. So that's exciting. We haven't done that for a few years. So nothing official on that yet. We're still working on that, looking at some opportunities. And then obviously Habitat, we're still, we're kind of on a rotating basis with them. About every other year, we do a Habitat build with there. And then on the years we don't do a Habitat house, I should mention, this past year, as we were building the house that's getting ready to sell, we actually went and built a porch that was accessible for a handicapped person. And so was able to do that because on build you for Habitat as an actual organization, if they don't build a house, they have to do something back toward the community that they serve. And so that was something that we were able to partner with and have students go out and help on last year. So
here's a tricky question. Do these students ever work on anything in the school district?
They do. We've had different times where anything from, you know, I'm going to throw this out in some different programs, but we've built handrails where they were needed and then helped to install those along with our maintenance people. So that's kind of cool. We can partner that way. A few years back, we built a central office. And so obviously that was a big thing in doing that. And, you know, and like I said, what we're looking for is that learning platform for those students. So whether it's a house, a cabin, a home, or an office, you know, it's that being able to, you know, learn how to build a stud wall and put that up. And then once that's up, how does that system go together where the trusses go up on top? And then, you know, the whole inner workings of, okay, when does a plumber show up and when does the electrical and how that all ties? They get to see that process go together. And so it's a great thing for students. But yeah, we do definitely partner with the district. And we do anytime we can, we try to do that.
Okay. Dr. Lightfoot, do you ever show up to these projects with a hammer and wrench?
They wouldn't want me to. But, no, my first experience out was probably, beginning of September or so, going out to the building trades home and walking through that. And I mean, really just amazed. And, you know, Mr. Ingraham did a nice job of explaining the short amount of time that builds that final product. And it's pretty incredible what our kids can do, that's for sure.
Well, speaking of construction, I know at the latest Board of Education meeting, you provided an update on the long-range plan. What was that?
We did, and we are well underway with our long-range facility plan. And, Jeremy, we talked about this last month. This is going to be such a powerful, I'll call it roadmap, for our school district. We've kind of, where we're at right now, there's going to be six kind of phases to complete this thing. And our goal is to have this done by April or May of this school year, so April, May of 23. And by the time we're done, we want to be able to engage our staff, so our teachers, our support staff, our administration. But also we want to talk to our public, our parents, and those kinds of things. We really want to get a lot of feedback on that and then bring in our architects and have them do some assessments of all of our buildings. So we kind of get an expert's point of view, you know, from the building side of it, but we also get an expert's point of view that those folks that are in our classrooms every day. And so I've had a chance to visit with all of our staff and all of our buildings over the last couple of weeks. And there's a lot of excitement in the air, you know, especially when you're talking about, you know, things you can really do to enhance your buildings to really serve kids better. I mean, that certainly is an exciting time for sure. But we're kind of in that phase right now to where we just sent out a mass survey to our staff to really kind of get an idea by building what some of our needs might be, what our teachers kind of identify as needs. We're in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start our building assessments with our architects. And I would really anticipate probably, I'd say about December, maybe January, we're really going to kind of make a big push to really kind of get our public's input and get some feedback from our parents and our patrons. And I think that's going to be a really exciting time to kind of engage with our school district.
Now, will those be public meetings that parents and others will attend, or is that going to be just like in the school where you guys send out surveys to parents?
No, great question. And I would anticipate probably a little bit of both. I will tell you one thing we're going to try to stay away from is just, you know, at Tuesday night at 7 p.m., show up at the high school gym, we'll pass a microphone around kind of thing. You know, it kind of gets when you have things like that and you have people show up. What we don't want to do is waste someone's evening to where we have a bunch of people show up and we talk about lots of things and we really don't get a lot of things accomplished. So we're really going to focus on doing some kind of small groups and some focus groups to where we can really get some, everyone can kind of get their input and we can kind of get some conversations with maybe our architects and conversations between teachers and parents and those kinds of things to where we really do get some small group buy-in on our plan for sure.
Okay. So we probably next update on this plan, maybe December.
I'd say so. Yep. And we're going to really push this out to our folks in our community. When we're ready to kind of get that input, we certainly want to get as many voices as we can on that.
Okay. You know, another kind of key component to the school district right now, and this was something we had talked about a few months ago, but is the school district still in need of substitute teachers and bus drivers?
Well, and I believe the last time we talked, Jeremy, I tried to talk you into getting your CDL, if I remember correctly. short answer to your question, we could certainly use them. But, you know, we're in pretty good shape in terms of we do have a couple of folks that are going through the training to get their CDL for bus driving, which is a great sign. And we can certainly use those both for daily routes, but also for activities. And we do our transportation services providing a little bit of a bonus for anyone that's interested in going through the training. So that does help a little bit too. In terms of the substitute teaching, we certainly can use them. Our pool has shrank, you know, probably from pre-COVID and pre-pandemic to now. The pool shrank a little bit. I would say we are pretty fortunate to be so close to, you know, Northwest, and we have such a good relationship with the university to where we do have, you know, we have some opportunities with student teachers and things like that that maybe other school districts don't. I say that, I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but I say that we also do still have a need for substitutes, and it's a hard job, but I can tell you it's a very rewarding job as well. If you're able to, you know, if you have the time and you have the ability to come in and work with students for a day and be that, you know, be that person to come in and really, you know, just work with students and, you know, see a curriculum in front of you and just put in 8 hours with our kids for a day. It really is. We have great kids at Maryville R2, and it really is a fun job.
You know, one of the things I noticed kids doing this past month was the manufacturing day. How did that go?
Yeah, it went great. And just to kind of give a little bit of history on that, gosh, I bet that probably started about 5 or 6 years ago. And really, this was kind of born out of our middle school. And I know our economic development here in the county was a big driver in that as well. And really, that's just to be able to get our eighth grade students and our middle school students exposure to what exactly are some of the opportunities in Maryville and Nottoway County in the manufacturing field. And really, I mean, if you think about that, you know, as adults, I mean, how many times have you driven by Kawasaki and thought, what in the world do they do in there? You know, and really, it's kind of neat for our kids to be able to get in there and for them to see how things are made and then to see what some, you know, some of the roles and some of the jobs are and things like that. And really, you've got the production side of it, too. But it's never too early to start thinking about if you've got an interest in, you know, building or you've got an interest in anything like that, to also see kind of the perks of, this is a potential career for you, and this is how you can, you know, earn a very good living, and this is how you can potentially make a career out of these kinds of positions. So I think all around it's a big win, not only for our kids, but I think it's a win for our business community as well.
So is Manufacturing Day kind of like planting the seed for future Northwest Technical School students in a way?
You know, I think so. You know, as Dr. Lightfoot said, the eighth graders, it's probably been 5 years ago we started doing that. We've also sent, working with Josh McKim, our economic development coordinator, we've sent just technical school kids at times. We partnered with some of the sending schools trying to get them out there. But one of the things that we noticed was, you know, when those kids are at that junior, senior level, they may already be going on a different path possibly. And so getting them in at that eighth grade level is something that quite a few years ago we started doing. And so getting them in there to see that, hey, I can still go to a technical school, you're right, or I can still even go get a four-year degree, because there's also other things out there other than just maybe a line position, but there's nothing wrong with that. Great way to make a living, but there's accounting positions, and, you know, there's some of our manufacturing facilities have cafeterias, and they have a lot of other things out there. So I agree with Dr. Lightfoot. It's a great thing for those students in our school and the businesses to be able to have those kids to come out there.
Yeah, and, you know, just kind of a broader issue. Nottoway County has such a need for a high quality workforce, and we would not be doing ourselves any favors at all if we did not expose our students to all the great opportunities there are here in Nottoway County and Maryville. And what we really want to do, our goal is not to just send kids through Maryville R2, and by the time they're seniors, we give them a diploma and say, you know, hit the world, good luck. We really want to show them that this is a great place to potentially live. This is a great place to be. And there are a lot of opportunities for you, no matter what your chosen profession is.
So not to detract from all of that, but I feel like I have to ask you about Spoofhound Sports, because we are hitting the kind of part of the year where a lot of teams may be going to state. So I guess I'm curious, how many Spoofhounds are state bound this year?
That's a good question. So this is pretty incredible. And I will, I will never forget. I knew this, you know, when I lived here, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Maryville has a long tradition of doing very well in athletics. And when we moved back here, probably my first week back, and I was visiting with a few folks, and I remember one gentleman in town just kind of had a conversation with me, and his parting words for me was, "Maryville loves a winner." And he slapped me on the back and he walked off. And there is some truth to that statement. We do love a winner, and our kids are doing very well, and they're doing very well this year. So there's a lot of great stuff going on. So I'll just kind of hit a little bit. I'll kind of go through the sports. So cross country, we ended up with our fifth consecutive conference championship, which is a big deal for us. We kind of a little bit of an upset. We've got a lot. We graduated a lot of good runners last year, and we ended up with some younger athletes and some younger runners, and they stepped up their game really well. And we ended up taking conference, and we will hit districts next Saturday. And I anticipate we're going to qualify a couple of runners for state, which that's pretty exciting. Girls golf, holy cow, man, we ended up. We ended up winning the MEC. We ended up winning our district title, and we ended up going down to state. Jeremy, we ended up fifth at state, and we were, I believe, three strokes away from fourth place, which would be a medal. Which, you know, that is phenomenal. And not a single girl we will graduate next year that were some of our high placers. So we did really well, and we're looking for a really good future there too.
And of course, we still got football coming up, so I won't step on Matt's toes too much, but I know that'll be the kind of big focal point of the area going forward into next month.
That we do. And I will mention, we have football and we have football, right?
Yeah.
So football-wise, we ended up, had a really exciting game down in Savannah. I love this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, these are the things, just me personally, that... You know, these are things I've been missing the last, you know, couple of years, where you've got two really good teams, you've got a heated rivalry, and I mean, they go down there and we faced a very good Savannah team, very well coached, and you know, they're undefeated. You know, we've had some close losses, and we go in there and we end up being able to come out with a win. But I'm telling you, a couple plays here or there, it could have gone either way, and really fun to watch just as a fan. And our kids played hard, their kids played hard, and that is what good high school football is all about.
Yeah, I listened to it on the radio, which you can listen to on KXV Karen W. And it, even though Maryville was constantly ahead, it never felt like Savannah was out of it, no matter how big the lead was.
Never did. And never really felt all too comfortable in that whole game, I don't think. No.
No, but that was a great game. You know, before going into our next segment, is there anything else you want to talk about it going on in the school district?
Well, one more thing on the old Spoofhound sports,
okay.
Boys soccer. We are currently looking, I believe we're fifth in the state right now ranked, and we end up wrapping up a conference title, and Jeremy, we are looking really good soccer as well. We finished third in the state last year, and our boys are looking good, and I anticipate and hope another really deep run this year. So great stuff all around for Maryville sports.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and go into the next segment, which is the Better Know a Superintendent. And Jeremy, you can chime in as well on these are just random, silly, dumb questions I pull out of thin air.
The fun stuff.
And just for an example, I'll go ahead and ask, what did your parents want you to be when you were a kid?
Cool.
I can speak from my own experience and know and say that both my parents wanted me to go into engineering, and I failed them miserably and have gone in the news instead.
I guess for mine, it would be not living in their basement. That was pretty much it. It was just, could he actually get out of the house? And so, no, I think when I was growing up, it was the big push, and you needed to go to college for sure. And I wasn't going to college, you know, I wasn't going to do that. But I did, and I ended up being, I say very successful. It fit me probably even better than it did high school. I enjoyed high school, but I liked that time where you didn't have to sit there from 8 o'clock all the way to 3 o'clock, just didn't, you know, move from one class to another. And so, very lucky as I've gone through and, enjoy being, administrator at a school now. And, my parents are surprised, but proud. I know that. So,
oh.
Well, for me, I believe I would have been a fourth-generation railroader.
Wow.
Yes. My family, I'm originally from Texas, and my family worked for the Katy Railroad many, many years before. And, you know, I can say my mom and dad both never really put a lot of pressure on me to, you know, they kind of wanted me to do what I loved. And this sounds strange, but I knew from the time I was 15 years old that I wanted to be a high school teacher.
So do you still have family in the railroad industry?
Don't, actually. My dad was the last one, and he retired back in 2012.
Oh.
His last, yep, he ended up retiring to Union Pacific, and, you know, great profession, and, you know, it was great for our family, but he kind of always told me when you work a job like the railroad, it's lots of long hours. Not that education isn't, but, yeah.
That's one of those interesting professions. You don't run into a lot of people who work in the field, but when you do, it just sounds like really tough work.
It is. It takes a work ethic. I'll brag on my dad a little bit. I tell this story to my new teachers whenever we get new teachers, that, you know, some of the biggest parts about showing up for a job, you know, the good work ethic is making sure you're always on time and just making sure you're there, which sounds like such a small thing, but isn't. And the only time my dad, I believe it was close to 40 years he worked, and the only time he was ever late for work was his last day of work because he took my mom to breakfast.
That's cool.
All right. Well, the other question I have, it is spooky month, so I feel like it'd be weird if I just didn't ask, you know, favorite Halloween candy. You go to a door and you see that candy, and you're like, this is the best house of the night. And I know that's a tough one because I couldn't even think of one because I wrote it down probably a week ago and I still can't think of my favorite Halloween candy.
Oh, I will, even to this day as an adult, when I see that orange and black of a Reese's peanut butter cup, done. That is my house right there. I don't care if it's the mini. The big ones are great, obviously, but even the mini ones, that's like that's kind of like I would call that the Rolls Royce of the Halloween candy.
Now, have you had the weird varieties, like peanut butter inside peanut butter, I think, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So funny you mentioned that. My wife brought this home. She did a dessert challenge with my kids and I, like, earlier this week, and it was a Reese's peanut butter cup with potato chips in it.
Mm-hmm. I've had that. It's good.
I wasn't a fan.
Really? Oh, I like the crunch that you get with it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, have you ever had chocolate-covered bacon?
I have. I don't mind that.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, it's like the same thing in my mind. I get that crunch, a little bit of salt, and then that sweet.
I can see that.
And if someone was handing out that in my neighborhood growing up, that would have been my favorite house. But I know that's cheating to say that my favorite candy is chocolate-covered bacon.
Yeah, I've got to go with the – I'm right there. I'm a Reese's guy probably if I'm going to get a candy bar. But if it's a Halloween, I think back – it's got to be the popcorn ball. And, of course, it's probably not as popular now, you know, homemade something, probably not as acceptable. When I was a kid, you went to that house to get those popcorn balls. Whoever had that caramel or sometimes, you know, they even had like a cinnamon one. So if you're in that age of about 50 years old like I am, I think you would look back and you remember those. That was our thing. We'd find out, you know, you better get over there. And, of course, there was no phones to tell each other or anything. But as you're walking down the street, you'd let everybody know and you'd try to find that house.
So. And I assume those were like homemade, so they were even better.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're wrapped up in cellophane. And,
even the smell of them.
Yeah, the ones they make, I'm thinking of the things they make now where it's like, the popcorn ball, but it's in like a plastic bag and it has that plastic bag smell to it. It's kind of like, what's something else? I like going through stores and looking at all the weird, dumb things they sell. The latest I've seen is like pretzel bags for Halloween. I don't know why.
One of my first years teaching and, we were actually living here and teaching in Savannah, and I ended up with a box of calculators. And so we handed out calculators instead of candy. We had a lot of
disappointment. Did your house survive the night?
No, well, it did, but I ended up with students that always remember me as the guy that handed out calculators for Halloween.
Well, that goes into the next one. A candy you would be upset to get. And this is another one I was thinking back on, and I don't know if this would count as a candy, but I remember a guy in our neighborhood just handing out these mini boxes of Cracker Jacks, and I just didn't want that at all as a five-year-old child. Also had a guy who handed out pennies, apples, but...
Mine starts ends with candy corn. I have no use or time for candy corn. Ooh.
You would get into a fight with Matt over here. He loves candy corn.
I'm a seasonal candy corn. I'm okay with it, but mine would be black licorice. I cannot take it. I had a grandfather that loved it, but that would be mine. I don't like black licorice at all. So,
but you like red vines?
Take it or leave it.
Yeah,
same.
I was going to say, candy corn is a very divisive candy. Most people either love it or hate it. And I think back to probably one of the most controversial milks they've ever done. You know, both of you know who Chateau Milk is, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Well, 1 year, and I don't think they've done it since, they released a candy corn flavored milk.
Mm, wow.
And it was okay. Like, I'm not against candy corn. I'm in your... We're similar Jeremy's. We're both take it or leave it, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're fine with it. But, all right. Well, those are all questions I have.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
Talking to this, I want to, a lot of things tech school does, and I didn't say anything about this. I was focusing more on, our daytime kind of programming. But talking of candy and some of that stuff, I would be remiss not to mention Lori Talley and Cassie Jones. Lori is our adult and community ed coordinator. And then she also then works with our after school program, which is our GO program, which is at our elementary school. So the tech school coordinates that because it's a grant is written through the state to get monies for those positions to work with those students after school and have those people that do that. A lot of them are Northwest Missouri students that are either going into the teaching profession or just looking into social work, some of those things. And so it's after school. And so we run that from 2:45 to 5:30. And they had a trunk or treat just this week where the kids got to come in, and it's a fun after school thing to do. And then we also had a fall festival. And so just a lot of opportunities for kids. And Cassie runs that, Jones, and does a great job. And then again, Lori coordinates that as the adult community ed coordinator. And then when you see our brochure that goes out with a lot of the different things we do in the evenings and daytimes, Lori does that. So I just want to mention that. So
all right,
kind of goes right along with the candy that we're talking about.
Well, I'm glad I brought up candy.
You bet.
Conjured that back. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Jeremy, great to be here as always.
Well, once again, I want to thank you both for joining me this morning. And for all you listeners out there, this has been the Spoof Hound Spotlight. I'm Jeremy Warner. Next month's episode airs on November 28th.
Support for Spoof Hound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.